Things have been heating up ever since Boris Johnson claimed the title of Prime Minister. His power has been put on the back burner after dramatic scenes in UK Parliament last night. Not only was his bill defeated in the House of Commons, Tory MP Philip Lee had crossed the floor, turning Prime Minister Johnson's rule to that of a minority government. How did that all come about? To help make sense of the situation, I spoke to Professor of Politics and International Relations, Clem McIntyre, at the University of Adelaide.
All the fuss in the House of Commons was about a procedural motion, which sounds, on the face of it, pretty boring. But there will be huge headlines in the press the next day as a consequence of that. Because it's the first vote Boris Johnson faced in the Commons as new Prime Minister, and he lost it by 27 votes. The margin of defeat was considerably larger than I think the Conservative government was hoping for. The fact that that procedural motion's gone through effectively means that the ability to set the legislative agenda has moved from the government, the ministers, to the opposition, effectively, with some from rebels from the government side. And the Parliament's first use of that control will be to push through a bill that says to the Prime Minister, you are instructed by law to go to the EU, and if you cannot secure a deal that is acceptable to the House of Commons to manage the process of leaving the EU, then you must ask for an extension until the 31st of January. That's very significant because Johnson has already announced, come what may, do or die, whatever it takes, he will be not seeking an extension, that Britain, if it doesn't get a deal, will leave on the 31st of October this year. Johnson is faced with a choice of having to go back on his commitment that he made as aspiring Conservative Party leader and putative Prime Minister, go back on a commitment he made on the steps of Downing Street just a couple of days ago, or stare the Parliament down and say, well, do your worst, I'm not doing that, therefore it looks like we need an election.
I was going to ask how his plans have changed, and you did basically sum up how all his plans have changed. Now it's more about less than just forcing holding up the pointy end of the stick at the EU, hoping that they cave in on
He could do that if he had Parliament behind him, but it's now clear he hasn't got Parliament behind him.
Yeah, and now everything's gone out the window. He's probably not focusing on fermenting his trade agreements anymore. He's just trying to...
No, they'll be bunkered down in Downing Street thinking, right, how do we manage this? Mm. What do we do from here? We're not going to get the bill to force us to go to the EU is probably going to go through. Johnson, as I say, has given a solemn promise that he won't adhere to that. What does that mean? Is it a standoff between the executive and the parliament? Do they threaten the constitutional propriety, the norms and conventions by not presenting the bill for royal assent, therefore it is not law? This could go in any number of directions, and they would have wargamed in Downing Street, they would have wargamed a number of these outcomes, as have the opposition. So you pay your money and takes your pick at the moment, but it's a dreadful mess, extraordinarily complicated, unprecedented in at least the last 150 years of parliamentary government in the UK. They've been in bigger crises, two world wars, but in terms of managing the process of the parliament, I can't think of anything since the Major Reform Act of the 1860s, which is on a par.
Last time there was an election, we did have Cambridge Analytica eventually pop up saying that they helped almost engineer the election win for the Tories. How's that shadow going to hang over any upcoming future elections in the UK?
Yeah, no one knows what effect analytical system or social media campaign or whatever made. No one knows how that played out in the last election. In other words, if we could take Cambridge Analytica and other social media out of it, we don't know what the result would be. I think, though, parties and voters are now more aware of these issues than they were a few years ago, and I think that there will be an effort to perhaps have a heightened degree of scepticism around some of the information and the misinformation that comes out. And I imagine that there'll be much more attention paid to the fact-checking sites and so on. And political parties will now be ready with a instant response team. They'll be monitoring the airwaves. As soon as something turns up on Twitter or Facebook or something, they will be ready to jump on it and say, well, that's not actually how things are going. So whether it's Cambridge Analytica, whether it's another company that's endeavouring to distort the process in one way or another, whether it's somebody spending an awful lot of money indirectly to try and influence the outcomes. These things happen. Mm. The Electoral Commission will have to maintain close scrutiny, and the political parties themselves will have to be very sensitive about it and how they respond to it.
You made a lot of predictions last time you were here on The Wire. How are those holding up, considering the facts that have happened within the last 24 hours? There's been one Tory MP who had crossed the floor.
That's right.
Reducing the government majority. How's this all interplayed?
I'm not sure. I've done very well in my predictions, and I'm hard-pressed to remember exactly what they were, because the thing changes almost on a daily basis. Mm. What anyone would have predicted last week would have been thrown out by the government's decision to prorogue the parliament, to formally close it down for 4 weeks. That really set the cat among the pigeons. It meant the opposition thinking they had 2 or 3 weeks to manage this process of boxing the Prime Minister into a corner suddenly found they had about 3 days to do it. It probably meant that some of the Conservatives who were on the fence will give him a bit longer, see if there is a deal in the offing. They were probably spooked by the fact that Parliament was closing down and said, all right, I'm on the other side now. You've pushed too hard, and now I'm going to vote, because the danger of a no-deal Brexit is so great. So really, anyone who makes a prediction, I mean, I've given you a prediction today, yeah, that it's probably going to lead to an election and possibly a Conservative majority and possibly a no-deal Brexit on the 31st of October. But I'm not saying that with any confidence, because everything changes by the day. Anyone who tells you they know how this is going to play out is kidding themselves.
Clement McIntyre, Emeritus Professor of Politics and International Relations from the University of Adelaide, speaking to me here on The Wire.